Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 187, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 187.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John in the 10th chapter in the first 21 verses. John 10 verses 1 through 21. But first, we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything, and that is in heaven above, or and that is in the earth beneath, or and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, in the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land in which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, and that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So far the reading of God's holy word. We announce to the congregation that the Reverend A.F. Hankoop from the Netherlands has passed away this past Monday at the age of 86 years. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, Thou who art the good shepherd, as we have read in Thy holy word, Thou who carest for Thy sheep, and Thou who goest before them, and Thou who callest them, and they follow Thee. O, that Thou, as that good shepherd, may also look upon us in this morning hour, and in this Thy holy day. O, could it please Thee to add a new sheep to Thy fold in this Thy holy day. Oh, to give that that fold may increase, that it may be a multitude, 144,000, and that cannot be numbered. Lord, that they may also come from the midst of us as a congregation, and when by nature we are laying so dead in sins and in trespasses, and we do not know the voice of the shepherd, and therefore when Thou callest, then we have no desire to follow Thee, but we follow after our own father, who is the devil, Lord, it is so ill with us ever since that day of our deep fall in our father Adam. Oh, that thou may give us to understand it, that thou may give us to mourn over it, that we also may be given an ear to hear the voice of that good shepherd, and that our heart may be drawn by him, that we may also be given to follow him, and that we may be brought into his fold. Lord, we have read out of thy holy word that there shall be one flock and there shall be one shepherd. But thou saidst it unto the Jewish people. It was thy own nation of that time, and that other sheep thou hadst. And Lord, we also are of an other nation. But Lord, wilt thou give that thou may bring also those other sheep in, and that we and our dear children may not be on the outside. When we are born, it is so, but it must become different in our life. O Lord, we beseech thee that in this thy holy day, in the day that thou hast set aside to work miracles within thy church, oh, that in this thy day, that a miracle, that many miracles may be wrought amongst us, and that the calling which goes forth in the midst of the congregation, which is an outward call, and that it may also by thy Spirit and be sanctified and blessed, that it may become this day an inward call. Lord, thou art able to take the youngest one, and thou art able also to break the heart of the oldest one. Oh, that thou would remember then each and every one of us. None of us are outside of thy power, and what thou art able to perform in and through the work of thy holy Son, and the application by the irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, it is our only hope in this morning hour. It is our only expectation. And because we are unable, and because we are unwilling, and that our heart will never turn unto thee, Lord, thou callest us, but we turn our back unto thee. And so we will continue of ourself, even to work out our own destruction. Lord, we beseech thee that thy power may be felt and may be experienced in the midst of us. And oh, do remember each and every one of thy flock. Thou, as that good shepherd, oh, may thou speak in this day, because thou knowest what must be their complaint from day to day concerning themselves. When thou hast brought them in, oh, they have sought out many lovers, days without number, and then they have left thee. Lord, it is also their only hope that thou may return again to those who had turned away from thee. And when they have made a separation and that they cannot take away, then that thou would look on them this day to speak one word from heaven, thy dwelling place. And then that bride shall arise off of her bed of languishing, and then she shall run after thee again. Lord, what a wonder that it would be in the midst of the congregation when such a one shall begin again to sorrow and to mourn, when they shall seek thee, and that others within the church may also be drawn
and that they may ask, O, what is thy beloved, more than another beloved? Lord, wilt thou look on us then as a congregation? We are so dependent upon thee, then there is not the least blessing that we are able to take unto ourselves, except that thou givest it unto us from above. Wilt thou remember us then also for the things of this life? Oh, that thou thyself would help all, those that are in distress, and those that have special needs, those that have stood in this past week by the open grave. Lord, may thou comfort where man is a miserable comforter. And may thou go with all those that mourn, that miss their loved ones from day to day and from hour to hour. And may thou show thyself to be true to thy only word, thy own word, that thou wilt be an husband to the widows, and that thou wilt be a father unto the fatherless. Lord, remember all that are afflicted and sick. Wilt thou give strength and health and the ability to come up again unto thy house of prayer? We remember the little children where there are continuing concerns in the midst of the congregation. Lord, may thou also heal them in their bodies. And may thou give strength therein. And may they also learn to look upon to thee. Wilt thou remember the whole congregation and denomination? Lord, when we have heard that thou hast taken one of thy old servants to be with thee, all thou hast given, that he may lay down all his labors here below, and then an office he leaves behind him. But Lord, thou knowest the condition of our denomination here and in the Netherlands, and then we cannot do without the working of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we beseech thee, may it please thee to send forth those and that may truly be converted and that truly may be called and sent forth and thrust forth into that vineyard, a labor so impossible from the side of man. But Lord, when thou hast upheld thy servant for those many years, and when thou takest him out of the midst of the congregations, Lord, then we beseech thee that others may also come in the place, and that may bring thy word even to us and to our dear children. Lord, thou who hast worked in the lives of our fathers in the past, thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. And oh, we beseech thee undeservedly, because our lives do testify against us, that thou would not leave us as a denomination, but that thou would preserve thy truth amongst us, and that our children also may grow up under that truth, and that they also may receive the benefit thereof in their own soul. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Wilt thou go before us in this day, when in this morning we are called to bring thy word? Lord, thou knowest all the needs also of our own body. Lord, wilt thou give a voice, that we may be enabled still in this day to speak unto this congregation amongst whom thou hast placed us. And could it please thee to use a little word out of thy holy word this day for a true conversion, for the instruction of thy people, and for the comfort of those that mourn. Do forgive all that is sinful, and keep us from self and from sin, and be thou in the midst of us as one that serveth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 53, stanzas 1 through 5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in the quiet waters by. The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter 53, stanzas 1 through 5. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 10, and thereof the 9th verse. John 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. So far the words of our text. Christ as the door to the sheepfold. First, the door. Second, the entrance through the door. And third, the pasture by way of the door. Christ as the door to the sheepfold, first the door, second the entrance through the door, third the pasture by way of the door. I am the door. Who is speaking here, congregation? That is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, I am the door. Then he is speaking in a parable. Thus, he is a door unto what? The Lord Jesus is speaking about a sheepfold. And then we understand that ordinarily in those times, and then the sheep were brought into an enclosure wherein there was a bit of a wall around and an open space that they could enter and exit. And then we understand that it was the shepherd himself who would lay in front of that opening that he may be actually the door into that sheepfold. And thus the Lord Jesus, he says, I am the door. And he is making that sheepfold a likeness unto his own church, unto his own kingdom, unto his own people. I am the door. What is, congregation, what is, boys and girls, the use of a door? The Lord Jesus speaks here about this door as an entrance. He says, by me, if any man enter in. And thus, we use a door to enter. Thus, a door that is not an end in itself. But if we are seeking a door, if we are looking for a door, then there is a reason we look for that door. And what is the reason? Not that we may end in that door, but that we have a desire to be beyond the door. Thus, that there is something beyond that door which is drawing us. It is an entrance into some place. Thus the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I am the door. Then he is not an end in himself, but he is a means by which men may be brought into another place. And that those that are seeking to come into that place may enter by him. And thus Christ says, I am the door. And what is he the door unto? He is the door unto the kingdom of God. He is the door that gives entrance into communion again with God.
He is the door that gives entrance into that communion with his Father. I am the door. Who is he? He is the mediator. To do what? To make reconciliation, not with himself, but between God and his church. Thus, he is the Savior of his people. Thus, he is the Redeemer of his people. To do what? To restore his church. To give them that place again that they have lost because of their rebellion in paradise. And this is, congregation, the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted forever and forever. Not as an end in himself, but because he was the only way in which that people, that rebellious people, could be brought again into that communion with their Maker. Thus we must say, when we desire the door, why do we desire that door? Do we have any desire for our Maker again? Has it become a burden to our heart, a sorrow to us, that we have left God in paradise? I am the door. And then the Lord Jesus speaks about entering in by me. If any man enter in, what does he do? If the Lord Jesus says, by me, if any man enter in, what young people does he assume? Then he assumes that we are on the outside. That we need to enter in through the use of a door. If that door is ever necessary and precious to us, then we must first come to know that we are on the outside. If the Lord Jesus Christ will ever be called by us as by that bride, altogether lovely, then we first must understand that we are a fallen creature. Then this must have become our greatest sorrow, our greatest burden. That I have sinned myself outside of that blessed communion with God. I am the door. Congregation, what a wonder that there is a door. Because there are also other creatures of God that have fallen, that have rebelled, the same as you and I have rebelled. They are the fallen angels. They are the devils. For them there is no door. The Lord Jesus does not preach. The Lord Jesus does not say unto the devils, I am the door. But he speaks unto a fallen man. I am the door. And not only does the Lord make a door, but the Lord also will bring every one of his sheep through that door. Then it is not just a questionable thing whether that church will come through that door, but the salvation of that church is a sure thing. The elect certainly will be brought in We read it together. Other sheep I have, the Lord Jesus says, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And how will those other sheep be brought in? How will every sheep be brought in? That is by the preaching of the Word of God. It is by the preaching of that door when the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. It is by the preaching of the necessity of that door, our need for that door. The fact that we are on the outside of that kingdom and that we need to be brought on the inside of that kingdom. By the preaching of the existence, the fact that there is a door. By the preaching of Him who is that door to show who that door is. By the preaching of how a man may be brought to enter through that door, that is the means that the Lord is using to bring in that sheepfold, to bring in His sheep into that fold of Christ every day. When you are reading, boys and girls, the Word of God, every Sabbath day when we may hear it, the preaching of that Word of God, and when from the beginning of the Scripture unto the end of the Scripture, then we may hear about this door, then our responsibility that is increasing every day. Because the Lord says, unto whomsoever much is given, from him shall also much be required. Thus that door that is set before us, shall it be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in that day of judgment than for us? I am the door. Christ does not say, I am one of the doors. The Lord Jesus does not leave room for another door, for another entrance. No, the Lord Jesus says to take heed unto yourselves that no man should deceive you, because he says, many shall come in my name, and there shall be false Christ, and they shall deceive many. That is, that many shall preach other doors. Or we also have another door by which we think to enter into that kingdom. That is, that we think to enter in by the law. Rome says there is another door. You may enter in by Mary. You may enter in by praying unto the saints. There are others, they say, there is another door. The Lord Jesus was a good man. You must follow his example. But the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. Neither, he says, is there salvation in any other. For there is one name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. He says, I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And thus he declares that door. But we see in our second thought that he also speaks about entering in through this door. I am the door. If by me, if any man enter in.
any man. Thus we hear that they enter in congregation man by man. They enter in one by one. They do not enter in as a congregation. They do not enter in as a nation. They do not enter in as a family. No, they enter in man by man. By me, if any man enter in, then it is not enough. Young people, if your father, if your mother, if your grandmother, if your grandfather has entered in through that door, it is not enough, congregation, if the whole world would enter in through that door. No, we also, each one of us personally, needs to enter in through this door. It is not enough that we may know in our intellect. It is not enough for us to receive it in our judgment that there is a door and that it is necessary to enter in through that door. But no, we actually must enter in through this door. Because when we never enter in through this door, that means that we stand yet on the outside of that fold. No matter how much that we know of that door, and no matter how much and that we may proclaim the truth of that door. Congregation, how is it with us? Oh, was it ever a burden? Was it ever a sorrow that we were outside of that blessed communion with God? Oh, do we desire what is now beyond that door? And do we therefore desire to enter? By nature, we have no desire for it. By nature, we have no realization that we are even on the outside of that door. It can be, even in our unregenerate state, that we do have a certain desire to come within. Why? Because we say, that is now a blessed people who are in that kingdom of God. That we have a certain desire that we may also receive the benefits that that true people of the Lord receive in their life. That we also want to be included. Maybe that we even have a desire that we may have an office, boys, in that church of God one day. And then perhaps what do? We listen carefully and we read the Word of God when we are in our own home. And we are coming attentively to listen Sabbath after Sabbath and also in the weekday. In that house of God. And congregation, that is all good. Oh, may we fill our intellect, may we fill our minds with and that truth according to godliness. But it is possible that we also hear of that door, then in our mind, then we say yes. Oh, that makes a very good sense to us. That sounds like that is true. And we also have a desire for this and we become a member of the church. And we help in all good things other people. And then we are speaking also about that Savior. Oh, and we are taking hold of the promises of the gospel. And we are saying that it is that we declare unbelief to be an awful thing. And so we presumptuously take that name upon our lips. But we have never actually entered in through that door. Christ says, by me, if any man enter in, it is so important.
that we understand, that we know, and that we experience for ourselves how a man enters in through this door, in order that we do not deceive ourselves. The scriptures make it clear. The scriptures speak about faith, not a historical faith, not a miraculous faith, not a temporary faith, but a true saving faith by which a man is entering in through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Thus by faith. And our children know from catechism when that faith is planted. When is that? You say that is in that new birth. You are right. When a man is born again, then it is by that faith and that he is entering in actually through that door. And then he goes from dead unto alive. Then he goes from darkness unto light. Then there is a change of state. Then he goes from outside of that fold actually unto the inside of that fold. Then he becomes, then he is born as a little lamb of that flock of God. There is no regeneration possible outside of the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? It is because the active obedience of Christ is the foundation for life. That is, that no man can live outside of obedience. And that is no longer our obedience, because we have no obedience. It is all disobedience. But life, the life of that true church that is lying in the foundation of the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore that regeneration is never outside of the work of that mediator. But congregation, it is still one thing to enter into that fold. It is one thing to actually enter in through that door. And it is another thing to know that I have entered in through this door. A little baby, boys and girls, does not know that he is born. He is alive. But he does not know that he is alive. Sure, he feels it. He knows that he feels, but he cannot explain that to you, cannot speak to you. No, that is something that comes later. And that is also with that true church. And when they become alive, no, they cannot say that they are alive. They cannot say that they are one of God's true people. No, they feel a new life. They feel a new sorrow, they feel a new joy, they feel a new love. But they are not able, though they can explain all these things, they cannot tell you that they are one of the sheep of that fold. And therefore it is necessary for that church also to enter in through this door in an experiential way for their own soul. And then there are steps in that knowledge of faith. Really, it is a great mystery. But those who have actually entered in through that door, through that new birth,
and that now are on the inside of that fold, that it is exactly that people who experience for themselves that they are standing on the outside of that fold. That is a mystery. But that is now the working of the Holy Spirit. We know that many, man by nature, wants to place himself on the inside of that fold. But the Holy Spirit is doing the opposite. He is placing man on the outside of that fold. Congregation, were you ever placed by the Holy Spirit on the outside of that true people of the Lord? Not in your intellect, but placed on the outside to the sorrow and to the weeping of your soul. If we were never placed here, then you understand that that door has never become necessary for us. Why not? Because we are already in. And when we are already in, then we do not need to look for an entrance in. And that congregation is the very sad, deceived state of many people in our world today. People that are boasting also of Jesus, but he has never become to them a precious door. What did the Lord Jesus say to that Canaanitish woman? It is not meet to take the children's bread and to give it unto the dogs. Oh, how necessary that the Lord gives her this instruction in the first place. Did the Lord ever give us that same instruction? But then there is something else that needs to happen. Before that this door will ever become precious to us. And what is that? That is that every other door would go closed. We were created within that fold. And the Lord has opened unto man a door into that eternal presence and communion with God. What was that door? How could man enter there? That was through his own labors. The Lord said to man, "Do this and thou shalt live." He was alive. He was alive spiritually, but the Lord says, "I will give you that life eternally if you will only obey and follow all of my commandments." And what has man done? He has instead disobeyed. He has turned away from those commandments of the Lord. And now that door that has been completely closed. But you know what is the most difficult thing? That is to instruct a person and to show a person that this door that is completely closed. Israel was to enter with Moses into that land of Canaan. And they would not go in. They did not believe that the Lord would give them the victory over all those giants. And they refused to go. And then the Lord said, "Turn around. Go back into the wilderness." And the children of Israel, then they were sorry. And what did they do? They said, we will go. The Lord said, no, now you shall not go. No, then for them, that way at that time that was closed, that door by the way of that covenant of works that has been closed unto man. But it is a great work of the Holy Spirit to instruct, to teach men that that door is so closed. Israel tried even when the Lord said, no, do not go. Then they tried to go. And they had to experience that that door was closed now unto them. And it was no longer Moses that would bring them into that land of Canaan, but it was to be Joshua, whose name in the Greek is Jesus, and who is a picture of him who will bring his church into that kingdom of God. Christ says, I am the door. But congregation, as long as that people still think that there is another door, and that another door that is still a little bit open, then they will never seek after this only door or that old covenant that is so deeply ingrained upon the heart of man. That is the only way we know, that is the only way that man accepts. And therefore, what a despair when by the Holy Spirit the Lord is closing for that people those doors. And that they are given to experience that by all their efforts, by all their labors, by all their good desires, by all their following after the blessed commandments of the Lord, by all their seeking, by all their praying, by all their reading, then they cannot bring themselves one step closer unto that God whom they miss. And what a great disappointment there is in the life of the people. What do we read of that woman? We read that she has spent all that she had on other physicians, and she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. That she is brought unto a despair. All the other doors, they are going closed. Congregation, as the Lord closed all the other doors also in your life, of you who have a desire to come back into that blessed communion with the Lord. Oh, then what an impossibility is then experienced in our soul. Then what do we expect when all the doors that we know of are closed? Then we expect to die, just as the lepers did, because they knew they had an incurable disease and there was nothing, there was no one that was able to help them. Then the only thing that they had to look forward to was death. You say, God's people, they have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ their whole life. They have heard him preached from Sabbath unto Sabbath. They know that way, what it is. They know who that door is. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that is so true. But congregation, it is enough for our intellect. It is not enough for our soul. And why is it not enough for our soul? Because our soul only learns by experience. How is it for the people? They cannot see that door. And when that way of works is cut off, then they don't see any way at all.
No, that door that is so hidden. Do you see yonder wicked gate? No. Christ, the most hidden person for that people. Let God's children testify the truth of it. Oh, that door, that is a door that needs to be revealed unto that people, unto their soul. Otherwise, they can see no way to make it right anymore between God and their soul. But it is exactly now to this people, in their impossibility, in their self-despair, in their expectation to go lost, that the Lord is speaking and that the Lord is revealing Himself. Oh, then the Lord is coming in His own time, in His own way, so unexpected in the life of that people, to say what? To say to them, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. And congregation, when the Lord reveals Himself, then we see Him. Then we see Him. Oh, what does that mean? Then that people see a possibility. A possibility that they might be saved. When they thought that there was no possibility anymore. Oh, what a wonder then it becomes to them. Oh, that it is not only my neighbor that might be saved. Oh, that is the way they saw it. That everyone in this world could be saved, but I cannot be saved. And why not? Because they are sinners, but I am the chief of sinners. And thus the doors are all closed for them. But when the Lord is opening that door in His only begotten Son, or when they may see Him by the revelation of that Holy Spirit, then they see, oh, it is possible, that it is still possible, even for such a wretched, undone creature as I am. Does that mean that they have Him? Does that mean that they can embrace Him? Does that mean that they can say, I am His and He is mine? No, that doesn't mean that at all. But it means that they see there is a door. When before that they saw and they thought that there was no door. Oh, and you know what it means, boys and girls? It means they still can go to church. When before they thought they could not go to church anymore. And they did not need to go to church anymore because it was a hopeless case for themselves. And thus they receive a hope. And thus they receive an expectation when all the expectation that had been cut off in their life. That is now what Bunyan is pointing to when he shows that man when he is coming through that wicked gate. Oh, then that door of works by that law that has come completely to an end. And the Lord has brought him when he enters in through that wicked gate to see that there is also a possibility for him. Do you know what he says then in those moments? He says, I rejoice and tremble. Oh, he rejoices. Why does he rejoice? He rejoices because there is hope. Because that which was before cut off, that is no longer cut off. Oh, there is still a way open. There is still a possibility. There is a door that is made by God from heaven for the chiefest of the sinners. And yet he says, I tremble. And why does he tremble? Because he is not finished yet. Oh, to see that door. To see that opening. Oh, now there is a desire that he may also enter through that door. There is a desire that he may also for his own soul know what it is to be in that way. But we will consider that, the Lord willing, after we sing from Psalter 318. stanzas 1-4, the glorious gates of righteousness, throw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to thee. And I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to thee. 1-4 of Psalter 318.
I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thus our text speaks about an entrance, it speaks about a door, but it also speaks about what a man receives when he comes through that entrance. Thus it is speaking about the benefits that are received by that people through the mediatorial work, the labors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And congregation, really, there is no end to those benefits, but our text speaks about two of them. And what are they? We read, first, he shall be saved, and also he shall go in and out and find pasture. Thus, first, he shall be saved. And what does that mean? That speaks about the essence of salvation, the existence of salvation, that is, of salvation itself. It speaks about the safety of that church that may enter in. He shall be saved. He shall be saved from that curse of the law, that just and righteous God will place upon all those that are outside of his Son. He shall be saved from the dominion of sin. He shall be saved from the dominion of Satan himself. He shall be brought from the greatest evil sin unto the highest good, that is God himself. That is the portion of everyone. That is the portion even of the smallest sheep, the smallest lamb that may be brought through this door. The essence of their salvation that is so absolutely sure. Salvation doesn't lie in what that people experience, no, but it lies in Christ himself. And what has Christ said? He said, it is finished. Therefore, the smallest, the most inexperienced of those lambs and that come through that door, they shall be saved. But now our text also speaks about something else. What is that? They shall go in and out and find pasture. Thus it speaks about going in and out. What is that? To go in and out. That is actually freedom. If we may not go in, then we are a stranger. Then we are not free. We cannot go in. And if we may not go out, then we are a prisoner. Then we are a transgressor. And we are also not free. But those who may go in and out, they are free. That belongs to the citizen of a country. They may go in and out of their country. That belongs to the children of the house. They may go in and out of that house. Every soul that enters in by faith in Christ becomes a free man. But that does not mean that that freedom is experienced the same by every one of those lambs and of those sheep. There is a great difference with freedom in your house, is there not, children, young people? Because when you are very young, then you are not so free, then you are kept so very close to home. Sometimes when you are very young, kept within just a small space. And as you grow older, then you are given more and more freedom. Until that time, you may even go by yourself outside of that house. Thus, not everyone in that house is receiving exactly that same freedom. And yet, you are all children. Yet, you are all freeborn. There are no slaves. There are none that are in bondage. In regeneration, then we also become free. Then we are delivered from the bondage of Satan. And yet, as an infant, the Lord is keeping that people so close. It is in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that a man is also receiving another certain freedom. Because then a man is taught in his life where to look. That day he will never forget. And yet he does not always have the freedom to look and to see as he has once seen. There was one time that Peter may say, "We believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But then there was another time that Peter said, "I do not know the man." There was one time that Peter could walk upon the waves. But there was another time that Peter began to sink in those waves. Thus, that freedom that is not the same in their life. But it will become different later with Peter, even as it became with Paul, that in the most fierce wind and storm and that Euryclidean, then Paul was not afraid. And why was he not afraid? Well, because for Paul to live is Christ and to die is gain. Thus, do you hear that there is now for the Apostle Paul a much greater freedom? It is congregation in the application of Christ as opposed to the revelation of Christ that the church is receiving this freedom. And Bunyan is showing something of this when he pictures that pilgrim coming up unto that cross where he is losing there his burden of the guilt of his sin. Thus we said it is one thing to come through that door. It is another thing to know and to receive the assurance that we are through that door. And to receive then this full freedom. Oh, that is the blessed assurance. And that the church is receiving in the conscious knowledge of the forgiveness of their sin. There is a great difference between receiving a promise from the surety that he will go with us to stand with us before the judge and hearing it out of the mouth of the judge himself that we are now free. And what is now the great difference? Congregation, you know it. As soon as that judge speaks, then the shackles are taken off. And then I need not return to the prison anymore. And then I am brought no more with accusations back into that courthouse again. Oh, when the Lord is bringing his church in the court of their conscience to stand before that judge of all the earth. And when that judge is speaking
Deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. Oh, then that judge will never deal judicially with that church of God anymore. Oh, by this. And then in the word of God, we read here a speaking about the assurance of their state with God. And they shall go in and out, we read. Oh, what a blessed freedom. And not only so, but we read, and find pasture. What is that? Oh, that is, boys and girls, when a sheep may go into a pasture, then what may he do there? Two things. He may eat there, and he may lie down there in that pasture. Oh, in that pasture, then he fears nothing. In that pasture, he is led by those still waters. In that pasture, he may be quiet because of that shepherd's presence from fear of all evil. Oh, that is the rest of that church and that nourishment that that church may receive. When they may receive that freedom from the Lord to go in and out in the blessed application of that precious mediator unto their wretched soul. Does that mean they do not sorrow anymore? Oh no. That does not mean that they have no more sorrow in this life. When the judge speaks and when the judge says that you may go free. Then that does not mean that people, though they never come more into the prison, then it does not mean that those people will have no more sorrow in their life. When a judge speaks, congregation, then a man is justified. But justification is something different, distinct from sanctification. To be justified, that is to be free. From that curse of the law and justification that is complete in this life, that is complete in that moment that judge is speaking, but sanctification is imperfect. Until when it is imperfect, until the body of their flesh that is done away. And therefore it was justified Paul, who had to complain of himself, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And yet, that justified Paul, though he was filthy and corrupt, though he saw that it was nothing but a fountain of sin still within, yet he did not fear. Nobody found rest, and he found peace in that blessed, free, and sovereign grace. Oh, then that Apostle Paul, he may truly go in and he may go out as filthy as he remained in himself, and that he may be without fear, and that he may testify, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and shall find pasture, congregation. Oh, that highest freedom that is not experienced by every one of those sheep in this life, by the church militant that is here below. Actually, it is in our days not heard of so very often at all. No, the Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And yet what a great blessing, people of the Lord. Oh, to the glory of the Lord and to the salvation. Oh, to the comfort of your own poor soul. Oh, that you may seek to know that you are also justified and that you are sanctified by that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But neither are those highest steps necessary, congregation, for our safety, but only that we may be saved that we may not miss the essence of it. Thus we ask you, do you even know now the beginning? Because if the beginning is right, then the end also will be right. O congregation, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to show you the reality in your life. And what is the reality? That we stand on the outside. Oh, ask the Lord to make that reality of your life also the burden of your soul. Oh, ask the Lord that you may be given to desire that which is beyond the door. That may become precious unto you. Oh, ask the Lord to close every other door, which in the end you will never be able to enter into. Oh, ask the Lord to reveal, to show unto you in a personal way, this door, this only door. Oh, then it may be that you do not receive the highest steps. Then it may be that you do not receive that full assurance of faith that your own sins are forgiven you here in this life. But even if you may not reach unto those highest steps, one day every one of those sheep will know what that true freedom in is. When they are delivered from self, when they are delivered from sin, when they are delivered from Satan. And when they will glory eternally that the Lord Himself has made a way, and that He has brought me, who deserve to be forever and forever on the outside of that fold, that He has brought me, the most wretched and undone chiefest of the sinners, through that door, who deserve to be forever shut out. Congregation, what shall it be? Oh, what shall it be to stand with those five foolish virgins on the outside of a closed door on that day of judgment? Oh, see them. Oh, see them in the mind's eye even in this morning when they are knocking, knocking, knocking at that door. And that door is never to be opened, world without end. Oh, may the Lord prevent that you and I should be standing on the outside of that door on that great day of days. Because in this very day, or in this time of grace, then His word is also coming unto us. Or in this very day that the Lord is proclaiming unto us and unto our dear children that He is that door, and that that door has been opened not by us, not because of what we deserve, because it is the opposite, but that that door has been opened by God Himself for the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, pray that God would make that door precious, even in a day of grace. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give us humble hearts, that thou hast brought us through this morning hour, and that thou hast given us a mouth to speak. O Lord, thou speakest in thy word, I am the door. We have no eye for thee. We have no desire for thee as that door, because we have no desire for what is beyond that door. Oh, work in us and in our dear children. Lord, open our poor blind eyes. Close the doors that we cannot enter in through. Oh, give us to work ourselves quickly unto death. Reveal thyself to those for whom it is impossible. Instruct thy dear children further in the steps of grace, that they may also be brought to go in and out and find pasture. And so may thou remember us, each one of us together. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 126, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid. And therefore, though the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Though hills amidst the seas be cast, though foaming waters roar, yea, though the mighty billows shake, the mountains on the shore. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 126.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.